Praise God. I don't know about you, but I am excited, thankful, and grateful to be here with all of you. And I greet you all in the name of Jesus Christ. I look back in my life and try to imagine where God has taken me from, where He brought me from to where I am today. I am so amazed. I'm so amazed at what God has done. You know, the clips that you just saw there is a history of what the Lord can do when you step out in faith and trust God in what He can do in our life. This morning, I want to give a special thanks to your pastor, Pastor Zeddy, for inviting me to be part of this beautiful place of worship. And I'm thankful for what he's doing here in this country of Uganda. You know, it's amazing when I come here and I got to enjoy one of the important things was that they were praising God even in the convention that I attended. You know, they gave God the honor and glory in the conference that we attended. But you don't get to see that back in the United States, a country called a Christian country. We have taken Christ out of our nation. And here we are, I come to Africa, Uganda, and I see Christ is embedded in so many ways in the lives of people. And when I look at where God is taking this nation, it's amazing where I could already see this great progress that's being made here that will come into reality in the coming years because God is on the move in the lives of people here in Uganda. I got to visit this country 4 years ago. And at that time, we came here in support of a humanitarian project. And it was a project that was supposed to help in an area where people who are suffering from malaria, and we had a treatment, I would call it a way to keep mosquitoes away from you. It was basically a clothing line that would keep the mosquitoes away. So it was a repellent that was built into the material of the clothing line. Unfortunately, due to various reasons, it never took off because one thing was very clear. The person who was trying to do it was selfish, self-centered for his own reasons. And because of it, it failed. And one thing that I have learned over the years, when God entrusts you with something, if God gives you something in your hand, if you do not use it for His glory and for His honor, I promise you, you will never succeed in what you try to do. You're going to fail miserably. Why am I sharing this to you? Because I personally been there myself. You know, I grew up in a wonderful Christian home. As a matter of fact, I'm a son of a missionary. I got to the United States at the age of 10. And you know, I grew up and seeing, you know, the situations where people going through, the struggles where people going through, the way that the whole world was struggling in so many ways. And I had to walk through that struggle. Then I questioned God, why am I here? What is my purpose? And during the course of my life, you know, I strayed away from God. I walked away from God. It's not that God walked away from me. I walked away from God. I went to my own things. I wanted to figure it out. I wanted to do things on my own. I said I could do this. Eventually, it took me down to the deepest pit of my life. And one day, I was met in a car accident that I should have died and should have been gone for sure. The vehicle that I was in was smashed up like a pancake, so smashed up. Even the police officer who came and looked at the vehicle said, whoever was in this vehicle should be dead right now. But I told the police officer, no, I'm the one who was in that vehicle. God saved me from it. That was a turning point in my life. You know, we all go through turning points in our life. We all go through things in our life that we don't know where we are in our walk with God. But one thing is very sure. It doesn't matter where you are in your life today. It doesn't matter what situation that you're in today. Just remember, God's plan will be fulfilled in you if you come closer to Him. And one thing is very sure. He has chosen you. Each of us has been chosen for a purpose and a plan. This morning, I want to share with you from the words of Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, 15, and 16. And it reads like this. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Lord, we ask that you would minister to our hearts. Lord, we ask that you would open our eyes so that we could see you this morning. So the light of Jesus Christ will shine in our midst this morning, O God. So that we may be able to understand your words and understand what plans and purpose that you have for all of us this morning. Help us to walk according to your will, according to your direction, according to your path. We give you the glory and honor to you. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. We are speaking about this morning about the light. You know, light is very interesting. Without light, you are in something called darkness. One of the things that I have learned over the years is that we need something called light in order to do anything. In order to even function on a daily basis, we need light. If you look outside in order to see what's going on, there's a light that's shining in order for us to see. You know, this world is something called in the time of darkness. This world is in a time of darkness. As Christian brothers and sisters who are sitting here this morning, the question is, what kind of light that is shining from you? What kind of light is shining from you? Where are you in your walk with this Christ? Are you deep in the pits? Are you hiding the light where nobody can see? Or are you still not sure where you are in your walk with Christ? You know, we get to meet all different sorts of people every single day. Back at the Lighthouse Community Center, every day we are open. And I have learned over the years, you know, one of the biggest mistakes the body of Christ has done is that we are so used to being a Sunday morning Christians. Sunday morning Christians. After Sunday is over, everything is over. We don't get to see each other. Zero fellowship, zero communication, zero time in spending in the presence of God with fellow brothers and sisters. And we have turned the Sunday service into what you call a church today. And that's all we have. My question to you is, is it enough for you just being fed once a week? Will you survive eating once a week? Will you survive drinking once a week? The answer is no. We all know that we need to eat every day. We need to drink every day. We need to have the nourishment that we need in our life every day. You know, when I look back, one thing is very clear, that when God calls you out, if you're willing to step forward in faith, God can use you in a mighty way for the kingdom. And I can tell you, my life story is amazing, where I do not belong in a place where I am today, only because, you know, I look back at where my father, who used to be a heavy alcoholic, an addict, alcoholic, heavy smoker, he used to drink, he never went to church. As a matter of fact, he went to church twice a year. You know those people who go to church twice a year, people? You know, during the Christmas and during the Easter. Those are the famous days of going to church. That's what my dad used to be. He used to run seven engineering schools, and he felt, you know what? Life is good. What do I need God? I got everything. But there was one person in my family, my mom, she used to pray for him. She always said, I want to see you serve God. My dad said, what are you talking about? Serving God. You know what that means? These pastors who are out there, they're suffering a lot. They cannot even feed their own kids. Do you want us to be like them? My mom said, even if that's the case, I'd rather see you serve God. But the answer from my dad back to my mom was, you know what? Why don't I just give the 10% from what we earn and give us an offering? Isn't that serving God? That's serving God. 3 months passed by. This is during the 1960s, before many of you were not even born. A missionary from the United States came. He was ministering to the people. And I don't know if you know, in India, we all sit on the floor in grass huts, grass areas, and the man of God would be just speaking out. There is no mics. There's no such things. He would be just speaking to the people. My dad showed up and sat all the way in the back, listening to this man, because my dad wanted to know who this man, this foreign guy here in this country, and what is he has to say. You know, curiosity, I'm telling you. There's a lot of people who walk through these doors. They are curious to find out, what is going on here? Why are you people singing and praising and worshiping this God? Who is this God that you're serving? I don't know about you, but today, let this day be a reminder for you. There's someone who's sitting here who's seeking this God in their life. They know of Him. They heard of Him. They've seen stuff here and there, but they're still searching and trying to figure out who this true God is. What can He do? What can He do for me? Amazingly enough, this great man of God was filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And he said, there's a man sitting in the back. He said he's going to give 10% of his earnings to God. But the God, the Holy Spirit, the God of the Creator is saying today that God does not want your 10%. God wants you 100%. Now you could just take those words for 1 second. You have two choices when you hear this word. Two choices. You could say, yes, that was for me. That was my message. Or you could say, you know what? It sounded like it was for me. You could start questioning everything around you and say, no, that's not for me. You got two choices. Two choices. Yes or no. There is no in-between. A lot of people think it's an in-between thing. No, there's one yes or no. Amazingly enough, the Holy Spirit just took over his heart. He jumped up out of his seat, all the way from the back, ran to the front, kneeled down, gave his life to the Lord. I am a product of the youngest son in my family. God used my dad from that day on forward to change our whole family. Every single person in our family has been now saved, baptized, loving, and living for God. God used him as an example. We had the privilege to come to... My dad was went right away into Bible school because he didn't know anything about Bible. He found the nearest place where he could go learn the Word of God. He went to a place called the Church of God Bible Center in very close to our home. And he learned the Word of God for the next 3 years. Sitting in with these youngsters, he was 33 years old when he started the ministry that God called him out. And as a teacher, they all call him teacher when he was in this class. But God started to take him and start to use him in the midst of people. Wherever he was sent, God would use miracles to heal people, and lives would be transformed in an amazing way. Amazingly enough, he never shared this in any pulpit. That was not my dad. It was not about sharing about I did this or I did that. It was about giving the glory and honor to the Almighty God who did everything. This morning, I want to remind you guys, everything that we do, everything that we have, everything that we do for God is all because of Him. It's because of what He has given to us. And when we give it freely, He will abundantly bless you, abundantly give you more to do greater things for His kingdom. You know, sometimes you imagine, you know, I still remember growing up, you know, we used to put an offering. Growing up, offering, we used to give 25 cents, because that was a lot of money those days. Then it became a dollar, because, you know, inflation grew and things started to be expensive. It became a dollar. Then people say, you know what? No, we need to give more. It became $5. Then it became $10. It became $20. As the more you give, the God will bless you more. I'm telling you. I'm a living proof of that in my life. Because of giving, not just your money, your time, your talents, everything that you have belongs to Him. Everything that you have belongs to Him. Just so that you know, He owns you. Amen? You don't own yourself. He owns you. So don't try to walk away from His will. Because He will bring you back, pull you back, and He will send you through trials. You know, a lot of people are so fast to put every trial that we go through on the devil. Aren't we so fast to say, oh, the devil is doing this to me. The devil is doing that to me. Have you ever thought it's our Lord putting us through the trials, breaking us, fixing us, molding us, and shaping us to where He wants us to be? You see, in order to be a true light, in order to truly shine for Him, it's a process. You know, this light just didn't show up. The light that you're seeing here, it just didn't show up. There was a process that has to be done, that had to go through. Someone had to work on how to create the power that it needs. And even the power goes through, there's certain things that has to happen. Every single one of us in our lifetime have to go through a process. See, in order for you to shine for God, it just doesn't happen automatically overnight. It's a process that God is going to take you through, walk you through, step by step. Every single step by step way in your life, He's going to process you. My dad was processed, and he was put into a position where he could now serve God. He served the kingdom for more than 33 years before God took him home. But during the course of his time, he was able to go out into the United States and plant over 40 churches the time that he was there in the United States within the Indian community. And God put a vision in my heart long time back. As a matter of fact, when I was dedicated, my mom used to tell me the man of God was filled up by the Holy Spirit, and he prophesied that I would become an evangelist and travel the world in proclaiming the gospel. My mom used to tell me this when I was a little kid. And I used to like, what are you talking, Mom? Me going to the world, evangelizing, doing God's work? No, that's not possible. Not possible. And I'm not interested. And as a matter of fact, when I saw my dad being a pastor and the things that he had to deal with as being a pastor, I said, I never want to be a pastor in my life. Don't want to have nothing to do with it. Don't want to deal with that kind of stuff. You know? I said, no, that's not me. As a matter of fact, the more backstabbing stuff that I saw in church, I walked further away from church. I said, no, I don't want to be part of this kind of church. If this is what a church is, I don't want it. So the Holy Spirit started to talk to me, because I started to argue with God. I said, why? Why are the believers? Why are we doing this? Why are we having these issues? Why are we going through this kind of stuff? See, I don't want to be part of this, God. I don't want to be part of things like this. So the Holy Spirit started to talk to me and said, so what are you going to do about it? The word was, what are you going to do about it? It struck me like a lightning. The Holy Spirit was telling me, be an example to others in serving me faithfully. You see, the Lighthouse Community Center is not a Sunday morning service. The Lighthouse Community Center, we do have a Sunday morning service. We do praise and worship God. We do anything and everything that you guys do here. But the Lighthouse Community Service model is to be open every day, available to the community every day. Everyone in the community, in the body of Christ, would team up, work together in reaching out to the lost. Do you know how many people in your neighborhood, right around you, who are lost? How many of you know that? How many of your friends or families are hurting right now? Do we actually care? Do we take time to love on them? Do we take time to minister to them? Do we take time to say, you know what? They need to experience this Christ like I have experienced. See, the truth of the matter is, the body of Christ is not doing so. You know why? If it was so, this place would pack up. And Zeddy has to run another 3 more services during Sundays. But it's going to happen. It's happening already. Why am I here? I'm not here to beat anybody down. This is not the reason for my visit or my sharing. I want to, first of all, remind us where we are today. Because unless we are reminded to where we are today, we cannot move forward to where we need to be in the walk with God. You know, there's something about serving God. You got to be either 100% for Him, or you're going to be a lukewarm body of Christ. A lukewarm church. It's not here, it's not there. It's this way or that way. Whenever it feels like. When it is convenient for me. Right? We are the convenient church today. We go to church when it is convenient for me. We'll go do something for God when on my time. When I'm good, when I could do it. No. God is saying, you make time for me first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. What is this all these things? It's right in the Word. You guys could go home and read through it. What God's promises are amazing. His promises are beyond what we could imagine. If we could just take time. If we could just take moments to say, God, here I am. Use me for your glory. You know, Martha and I have been traveling around the globe in serving the kingdom and opening opportunities to where we could serve the people in a multitude way. I don't know if you are aware of it. How many of you here know either you are somehow have a sickle cell disease in you or someone that you know might have it? How many of you, just raise your hand that if you know someone who have sickle cell. Okay, Martha and I, we came to attend a conference right here at the Africana Hotel the last 3 days. You know, we heard about, you know, the pain and suffering the children go through. And the ones who are suffering from this, it's a painful experience. There's no treatment yet been utilized to help people. The lifespan of children is less than 5. Children die before the age of 5. Here in Uganda, over 20,000 children, they die. I think, I don't know if my numbers are right or wrong, but more than 20,000 kids, children, die. It's an epidemic. It's been proven. It's all over Africa. It's all over now. It's spreading to the United States. It's everywhere. What can we do? Where can we, you know, get ourselves engaged? By the grace of God, our foundation that we manage, we were able to find a doctor who has created a treatment for people with sickle cell. God willing, we just got the approval where we could bring in this treatment to Uganda, and we will officially do it from September of this year. Yes. And I got to tell you, I was jumping with joy in my heart when one of the top leaders of this country, I don't want to mention names here, it's not the right thing to do, but he's a well-known leader, very close to the president, he said, we need to tackle this immediately. Immediately. We're not going to sit around and talk politics. We're going to do what we got to do. Now, this is someone who cares about dealing with issues of people who are hurting. Do you know how many people in Uganda who still have not yet to know this Christ? What kind of urgency do we have to take the Word of God to the nation, to the people who are hurting? You know, we want to save people from the sickness. And everybody's ready to jump on board. You know, all the medical teams and this team and that team. All ready to jump on board to do this. But do we have the same urgency as the body of Christ to take the gospel to the outermost part of the world? You know, Matthew chapter 28 is very clear. That's what we've been commissioned to do. See, in order to be a true light to the world, we need to go out and be a true light. Be a true example to Him. Be a way where we could show to people and they will see through you. You know, a lot of people say, oh, I have many flaws. They should not look to me. No, but Jesus said, no, you are the light of the world. When you have me in you, you're going to shine for me. See, God wants to shine through each and every single one of us who are sitting here. Each and every single one of us been given a light that they could shine in the presence of many people around us. There's a dying world out there. They are in total darkness. Their eyes are filled with scales. They cannot see the light. Because this world, the devil has crumbled them, put them down, and tried to steal the peace and joy from their life. But when God redeems His people, He takes out the scales in their eyes. He get to give them the eye, the light that they could see. Finally, they could see something. You know, a lot of believers today are experiencing the blind man's story in the Bible. You know, first clearing, he saw something. He had to go to it. Wow, how many times? Another two more times before he was very well cleared. You know, I asked the question, why? You know, we are distracted by so many things. The body of Christ, we are distracted in so many ways from serving the kingdom. We are distracted by, you know, issues in our family. Our closest one can be the one who can pull us back. You know, they don't want you to serve God. The devil can use them to pull you back. I encourage brothers and sisters, if you are truly called out, step out in faith. God called me out to serve Him more than 20 years ago. Not with, you know, big money in my pocket. I didn't have any money at all. But I knew if you step out in faith, God will provide the resources. By the grace of God, we've been able to expand the kingdom work in various countries where there's great needs are needed. India is one country, just so happens that I'm from India. But that's not why I'm there. I love everyone. Doesn't matter. Black, white, yellow, doesn't matter. God sees us all through the same eyes. Amen? One thing I know about my God, and I tell this to everybody, my God is colorblind. He cannot see color. He sees us all in one color. Amen? You know, we are the one who looks at, oh, you are black. Oh, he is white. Oh, I'm better than you. No. We are all His creation. Amen? We've been created by Him. And He has created us for a purpose and a plan. And His plan is very clear. He wants you to be the light to the world that is dying. He wants you to be the one who's going to lead the person next to you who's suffering, who cannot see, who cannot take the next step to know where he's going. You've been given the task. You've been given the authority. You've been given all power from him to you. You know, we Christians today sit around like we're a bunch of dead people. We've been given all the authority. Do you know that? Do you really know who you are? We are the children of God. We are the children of God. I am a child of God. I am a child of the King. Amen? You know, with that comes everything. With that comes His power, His majesty. Everything comes from Him. And through us, He wants us to shine for Him. He really wants us to shine for Him. You know, the time is coming where we truly need to see where we are at in our life. Time is running short. I'm going to cut it short. One thing that I know, in America, we know how to keep time. Even we start late, we end on time. When we go late, we still got to do according to time. Our Holy Spirit, God he's a respecter of time. Everything has an order in what He does. But this morning, the reminder to the body of Christ is, we are the light to this nation. If God has placed you in Uganda, be a light, a true light here in Uganda. Let the world see you. Let the person around see you. Let the person who's struggling get to know you, that, you know what? You care for me. What did Jesus do? You know, Jesus did not go and live a lavish life, but He lived a simple life. He lived a life with the people who were hurting, people who were in struggles, people who were called cast outs. Nobody wants to talk to the cast outs today. You know, they are not my kind. I cannot talk to them. We keep pushing them on the side. Jesus is watching every step we do. I know it hurts to know that, right? Jesus is watching to truly see where we are with Him in serving Him. Are we truly serving Him? If not, let this day be a day of, you know, a change in your attitude on serving God. What does it mean to serve God? It means to serve others. You know, don't be a taker. A lot of people are just, gimme, gimme, gimme. No. Jesus was a giver. He went and He gave. Everything that He had, every minute, every opportunity, He gave. God is asking you to give your time, your talents, everything that God has given to you, He said, give. And He will bless you more. And He will use you in a mighty way for the kingdom work. You know, we are so excited that we could plant a Lighthouse Community Center here in Uganda. It's not for us to do something unique, special. It's for us to unite the body of Christ. Because again, one of the areas the devil's been so good is dividing the body of Christ and not to have communion with each other. The time has come. The body of Christ, you know, the Calvary Chapel of Kampala would be ministering together with local churches and working together in dealing with social, economic issues of this community. Whatever that may be, you might say, Finney, that's too big for us to handle. How about we take on one step on a small scale? Work on 10 people. Work on 20 people. Take one step at a time. Nobody's asking you to fix the world. Nobody asks you to fix the problems of Uganda. But God is saying, wherever you are set up, wherever you are located, make an impact into the lives of people who are struggling through many things. Addictions, family problems, you name it. I could give you a ton of list of things that people are suffering through every day. But I want to encourage you, body of Christ, today. If you haven't done this before, talk to your neighbor who lives in your community. See where he's at. What is he suffering from? What is he going through? Is there something you could do to make a difference for him? When you share the love of Christ in action, you know, we could all preach. We could all take a Bible and we could hit somebody over their head with a Bible. But I tell you, the best Bible that you could give to someone is living out what God has called you out to do. Live out what God is calling you to do. And they will read you first before they ever read this Word of God. Let them read you first. We are the Bible that's walking around in the community. What kind of Bible are you? What kind of light are you today? If someone actually can read you and see a difference in you, if someone can say, yes, man, that brother right there, there's something about him that makes him unique. That smile of that brother tells me there's something amazing about him. The way he handled himself shows there's something about that sister that's unique. I want to know what that is. You know, people are seeking today. People are crying out today. People are seeking, where do I go from here today? I want to close out in saying, all of you who are sitting here, we are all a light that God is about to take and use and make you shine in the city of Kampala. It's all about how far you want to go with God in shining for Him. It's on you. It's not on God. You know how many people keep on putting it on God? Why they are where they are in their life? No, it's not the way it is. God is waiting on you to make the step forward and say, Lord, here I am. Send me. I am ready to serve. I want to be the true light for you. And I want to do whatever you have called me to do. I want to encourage every single one of you. If you have not taken this step in serving this God, if you do not know this Jesus in your life, don't go home without Him today. Take Him with you. Receive Him in your life. You know, just like my dad stepped up and when he heard the word of invitation, he stepped up and stepped out. And that changed the whole dynamics of our family. You can have the same experience if you step up and step out and say, Lord, I need you in my life. I want to live for you from today onwards. If there's any one of you, and I'm going to ask you to bow your heads, you're going to pray in this moment. If there's any one of you who has not yet to receive this Jesus in your life, the Holy Spirit is saying, He's inviting you right now. He's inviting you right now. Just put your hand up wherever you are and say, Lord, I need you in my life. Just put your hand up wherever you are. The Holy Spirit is saying that I want to live for you. I want to live for you. If any of you who are sitting here today said, Brother Finney, I've been a Christian for a long time, but I never been able to serve God in my full potential. But today, I want to rededicate my life. And I want to say to my God that I want to live for God faithfully for the rest of my life in serving Him. I want to invite everyone to stand up with me as I know all of you want to serve God. faithfully. So let us all stand up and give the glory and honor to the Almighty God and ask God to touch us, lead us, guide us, protect us. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray right now for our brothers and sisters who are gathered here this morning to praise and worship you, O Master. We thank you for speaking to our hearts. And Lord, we thank you for your word this morning as being a light to this world, O God. Help us to be a true light. Help us to be a true example. Help us to be the one that you want us to be, O God, so that when the world see us, they see you through us, O God. We thank you, Father. Lord, we commit each and every single one of us into your hands. We ask that you would continue to minister to our life, O God. Use us in a mighty way for your kingdom work right here where you have placed us, O God, because your purpose and your plan has been fulfilled through us according to your will, O God. We thank you and we bless you. We give you all the glory and honor to you, Lord. We pray for this body of Christ, Calvary Chapel of Kampala. Lord, I pray right now that you would bless each and every single person who's gathered this morning here, O God. Lord, we pray right now for your servant of God, Pastor Sadi, Lord, that you would continue to use him in a mighty way to minister to the people here, O God. Lord, we pray right now that you would touch each and every single one of us in a special way with the power of the Holy Spirit, that you will transform us, that you would direct us. You will take us to the next level in the work that you have for us, O God. We thank you and we bless you. We give you all the glory and honor to you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.